So, Practical Rabbinics 101. Like, you know, when a story works out the way you want it to, so then, you know, you say, well, it's a bit of a share, etc. It works out not the way you want it to, you say, well, there's a Gishmak Amai, so you have a lesson from. So I always had this aura, like, you know, like you have these stories, the Pesach Kron stories, you know, he's traveling on a plane, and there's this person next to him, and it turns out this person's fry, and they schmooze the whole plane, and by the time he's finished, the guy's is keeping Shabbos and wearing tefillin. Right? That's what happens to Pesach Kron. So I remember one time I was taking the train back from New York back to here to Yeshiva, and I'm sitting next to this like young man, college student, exchange student from Singapore, and he tells me he's an Abed Avodah Zarah, and he tells me why it's had such a good thing to be Abed Avodah Zarah, and he's talking about the milas of Getchkas, and I said, you know, Pesach Kron gets, you know, Yidden, and he's Makar of them. I get you know Avodah Zarah. So the rule is, you make a story out of it. Like, you know, you do something, at least get something good out of it. Right? So the Ramban says, then the Parshish Boy, that Yitzis Mitzrayim is to come to address the elements, the different elements of mistakes that the world had made, the kfir that the world had made, was Mukhash from Yitzis Mitzrayim. Yitzis Mitzrayim proved otherwise. The Rambam describes the process of Avodah Zarah. The Bereshit created the world. Adam Rishon was over directed to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Eventually, two generations later already, they came up with this idea that it's not covered to the very Olam to speak to them directly. You need to go through an intermediary. Eventually, they started speaking directly to the intermediary, etc. It comes to Yitzis Mitzrayim and said that's not correct. So the Isun the Torah Yilcho Alhim Achirim Al Panoi, spoke about by the for those of you who were by the federal holidays here a week ago, right? The Rishonim, some Rishonim learned Lo Yilcho Alhim Achirim Al Panoi. Al Panoi means even though you believe in me and I'm present, and you're not denying me. You can't have any other God. You can't have any other power other than me. It means if a person comes along, he believes that the way you speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu was through an intermediary. That's Mamash Avodah Zarah. Now, the word, let's translate Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah doesn't mean idol worship. You're not worshiping an idol. But you're serving Kadosh Baruch Hu incorrectly. It's an Avodah Zarah. It's a foreign form of service. It's not the service of the Torah. The service of the Torah is a human being talks directly to his Creator. Now, you can hear why a person can make a mistake. That we stand in awe of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're overwhelmed by the idea of being able to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rashba says that the nusach which we have of Birchas HaMitzvah starts out in Noshon Noichach, and we switch the loss of Nisra because Pasha, we step back from the awe that we're talking directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That human beings can talk directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's you know the microbe talking to the mountain. It's no shaychus. It's like mamash that's the Bershom's rotzen, and that he's interested, that he cares. It's beyond our comprehension. So lo yilchem elhim achem al panoi. There's a hakdama. Anochi Hashem alakecha shesisichem etz Yisrael mebeis avodim. Had that not taken place, you would not have understood that. Had you not seen Yitzchak Mitzrayim, had you not been understood the lessons of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, had you not experienced what happened, you wouldn't understand this idea. The world before Yitzchak Mitzrayim was a world where people, the Klaisa was over there by the Zohar. They didn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They believed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But the idea that a human being can talk directly to the Creator, you have to have something in the middle. That's what they couldn't imagine such a possibility. So they come to the Yam and it says, these are the Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, no, Klai Yisrael learned the lesson. Klai Yisrael's not going to make that mistake anymore. They were of the Avodah Zarah, but not anymore. Now they understood, now they get it, that it's direct. The Egel Azov, according to many Meforshim, was this mistake again. That they were hesitant in the direct approach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. the Ramban in that end of boy, in the end of boy, that where he talks about this, he basically sees. He asked the Kasher, which is the Ramban, the Parsi Yisrael, the Ibn Ezra, the Kuzari, all that. Why do you need Yetzias Mitzrayim? Which Shabaros Hashemayim Baritz, much greater accomplishment, much more powerful accomplishment. You see, the time was one prat. Bria Shemayim Baritz is everything. Why? You see, it's Mitzrayim. So Rabban says, we didn't experience Bria Shemayim Baritz. We see it in front of us, we didn't experience. There was no observer watching that could could have the hispilus of that experience. We experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us all of the lessons that Bria Shemayim Baritz could teach us. But what the Ramban and Parshas, and then the Parshas Bo says, is that we needed to experience this personal experience to understand that we have a personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A man couldn't imagine such a thing. Or many, many men could not imagine such a thing. There was Yechidim understood. Avraham Avinu understood. He lived in a world of everybody was ever there but a Zohar. So what were they? Were idiots. What were they thinking? They understood there were Kaychas. They had tremendous understanding of the Kaychas. They understood the Ramah Kol Goyim Hashem. Al Shemayim Kivoydoi. Yeah, there is this Kelly law. It's beneath his dignity to interface with us. Avraham Avinu, Midas HaChesed was he realized that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's greatest desire is to interface with us. That's the greatest Chesed. That the Adam Gadol should reach down to the lowly was his learning from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and doing the same. If we will never experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you go through the Yud Gimel Ikrim and you think about them, how would they be different to us? Would we understand them? Would we understand them correctly? Now, the Rambam, when he goes to the Yud Gimel Ikrim in his Hakdama to Parachelik, he brings Pesukim for each one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, almost every one. The Pesukim are not all from Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Rav Moshe Shapira in his Sefer on the Yud Gimel Ikrim has a long arichus to point out that B'Yisoidai, Yud Gimel Ikrim are built in Yetzias Mitzrayim. But let's push a think about it. I'm living in a world, the world of B'Yisoidai Shemayim Baritz, if a person wasn't his brother in the Madrega of Avraham Avinu, there's a nature, there's way things work. That world is a very cruel, cold world. The world of nature, quote unquote, is a very cruel world. Right? Darwin calls it survival of the fittest. Who's the fittest? Nobody's the fittest. Nobody's ever the fittest. Every king on a mountain eventually has another king on top of him who knocks him off the mountain. Even if he lasts there for a few years, but eventually somebody comes along who's younger and stronger, and he's off the mountain. That's a life. That's a life. You spend your whole life maneuvering to keep your territory. That's what animals do. That's what human beings do in an empty world. That's all we do. We want to find our Dalai Lama so we should be able to have a little bit of enjoyment. And people keep encroaching on it. So you go off to some place far, far away, nobody's there to bother you, and then somebody comes. Now what do? So you take a shotgun out, you get off my mountain, right? Remember the guys a few years ago in Warrensburg? They went climbing on the next mountain. The guy came on the shotgun, get off my mountain. It's my mountain. How you own a mountain, I'm not sure whether he really owned it or not, but he felt it was his mountain. You know? That was the world of Avraham Avinu. That's all that he stepped into. It was an extremely cold, cruel world. Dovid Melech describes his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kikmul Alai Imi. It's a babe in a mother's arms. that's the warmest world which is possible. Shomelech, his name was Yedidya. Yedidya is Yad Yad. It's two hands reaching out to each other. The hand of Kadosh Baruch Hu reaching out to us. We're clasping hands together. The secular world is a world which is just, it's a sad world. You know, you have to let good guys finish last. You have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. You know, they have all these wonderful sayings that teach you why you got to get ahead, you got to push, you got to go, you know. Because you're right, otherwise you get trodden underneath. People take advantage of you. There's a lot of bad people out there. There's a lot of good people out there also. There's a lot of bad people out there. And all the bad people seem to be very high profile. They seem very good at taking advantage of all the good people. For those who are politically minded here, we make this whole comment about the government. Yeah, it's a good advice. Okay, next. Okay. What changed that? What changed our view of that? So Kleisa went to Mitzrayim. The Russian put them in Mitzrayim. The Russian took out of Mitzrayim also. But the Russian put them in Mitzrayim. Why the Russian put them in Mitzrayim? But what was the goal of that? It's a kapora for the fact that Rav Avinu was Eisa and Gargim to Minach HaChomim. He said, Bemo'eda, Bidayateda. What do we have to go to Mitzrayim for? Sometimes you only have a clarity of understanding by the contrast. Means if you can experience the pain of what it means to be enslaved with no hope for anything, and into that world there comes a ray of light, of hope. The nobody, the worthless, the slave is valuable. And I have a self-worth. And there's somebody, there's a being which cares about me. The all-powerful being cares about me personally. Meder says, the Russian came to each, the Deber came to each Yachid individually and said, the Russian said, I took you personally out of Mitzrayim. I didn't take out Klai Yisrael, I took you out of Mitzrayim. You had a personal interface with me. I cared about you. I was aware of your needs. The Mitzri, Chazal said that after Yam Suf, when the Mitzriim came to the surface, they were able to mark each Mitzri which Jew he had afflicted when. That's the Mitzri. We did so and so to Yankel and this time and Barrel to this time, and he got exactly what he deserved. You can see the makas on him, how he got what he deserved. The Bershom knew everything. He was aware of every moment. And he paid back. I am valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's willing to interface with me personally. I have a personal God. Now I understand. Now I understand that an intermediary is a void of Zorah. It's strange. It's wrong. I didn't chop that beforehand. I'm not a bad person. I'm a void of Zorah. I'm a class of horrible people. A void of Zoranix. We didn't chop. If the Bershom cares about the little ant named Rheingold, like, it's a pastish. It was a whole new world of understanding. So Bershom comes and he gives the Torah to us and he says, listen, I have a whole list of things I want you to do. So, okay. We're machlif one dictator for another dictator. Chas v'shalom, Paro is a powerful being. He has tremendous resources and he forced us to do whatever he wants, whether we liked it or not. Okay, now we have, Bershom is doing the exact same thing to us. That's not going to work. That's not what Torah is about. The Bershom is coming to giving Torah. And it's going to be, Torah is going to be about a Zorah for us. Torah's going to be we're going to forkrum the purpose of the Torah. I once saw an article. Person wrote that some people's view of Yom Neroyim pashtus is about Azor. There's this angry God who keeps a tally of all your averus, and he's out to get you. And Pashat, unless you do tshuva, you're going to burn in Gehenna forever. And that's a Vodazara. That's not the Barsham that we serve. You have a fakrumta view of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not idols. Because that's not what a Vodazara means. We're forced to, whether we don't enjoy learning, there's a slave master with the whip saying, learn. You know, there's a story about this fellow came over in the boat, you know, and he came to his cousin, who was Baruch Hashem, was already successful. He had a big factory, so they'll give you a job in the factory, schlepping the boxes. I said, come on, schlepping boxes. You know, I'm an older person, it's a possible dish. I have a great idea. You're a Baruch Hashem, you're still Sharmat Torah Mitzvahs, you're Maimon. I'll sit in shul and I'll say Tillim for that tzlocha of the business. Okay? Sounds good. Right? It says, starting tomorrow. It says, great. Fellow sits in the shul 9 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, the foreman shows up at 9:15. He says, "You saying Tillim?" He says, "Yeah, I'm saying Tillim." Good. 9:30, he starts dozing off. All of a sudden, the foreman says, "Tillim, you got a job." And hire us 8 hours of Tillim every single day. Half hour break for lunch. That's it. So after 2 days, he says, he goes to the base. He says, "Can I have a job slipping boxes on the floor instead?" Well, that's what learning Gemara is for some of us. Just we don't have a good foreman, you know. Rabbi Shira is too sweet, you know, right? So there's this mean God who forces these horrible things upon our lives. We've got to get up in the morning and say Kriya Shema for a certain time, like Rabbi Heber said. You know, there's a service on Kriya Shema. It couldn't even like, you know, but. Like, you know, Chassidim got it right. You know, Katzayis, Minchak Doyla, Minchak Tana, maybe he's talking on Kriya Shema. Mitten Tog, Mitten Nacht. Like, what is it against us? I mean, that's how some people's view of Torah is. They don't say it because of pastness. You know, they let me, you know, be me be the shagots. And learning, actually, the Rebbe Miller said one day, says, you know, the fellow Kemp, they said, you know, I have a moon and Mashiach's going to come soon. He says, really, Baruch Hashem, he says, you know, Mashiach comes, the government can take over all of the business deals, all of those things. And you're going to sit and learn for 12, 14 hours a day. He says, Gevald Bevelt, I can't even learn an hour without going out of my mind. So you want me to believe, wait for Mashiach? Don't tell me this. That's a Baratora. The Bershom is Pashadi, he has this list of things he needs to get done. And Nebuch, he stuck it on the poor Yidin. That's what would have happened if we didn't have Mitzvah Mitzrayim first. That's how we would have been Makabal Torah. The Bershom is a new dictator. He's got a good dictator. He has, you know, a lot of power in his resources. You don't chapter with him. Lightning bolts are very, very available to him. And he doesn't get you now, he'll get you later. He doesn't have to wait, Rashi says. He's not in a rush. He can get you after you die. He'll get you then. There's a whole Masechta's Gehenna. I'm going to learn it. It's a very gishmak. We can learn it one time together. You won't sleep for a few nights. We're going to frekrum the Torah. The Torah is not about the Bershom has an agenda to get us. Our dysfunctional Father in Heaven scowling down from above. The Bershom cares about us. The Bershom loves us. The Bershom was willing to put himself out, as it were, for every single detail he was aware of. And every single detail there was mita keneged mita. Klai Yisrael saw it. It means there's nothing the Bershom didn't do for Klai Yisrael. I took you personally out of Mitzrayim. I'm your personal God. I'm here to protect you, to take care of you. I love you. And I have good things I want you to accomplish. So I'm a parent who's being madrig with their child what's good for them. Klai Yisrael needed, he sees the time to understand that that's what it's all about. Without that, we'd be off the creek. With it, we have plenty of challenges understanding that. I was talking to a young man. He tells me that, you know, so he reads this story. You know, the Gedolim stories are very chashuv. They open our minds to another world we weren't even aware of, and sometimes they scare us. You know, you, So the eighth is to write it off. Like, you know these really strange, you know, nice people, like really strange. And, you know, so the Chavetz Chaim runs after the God of Amaychiyu. I run after the God of, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to break your legs. That's what I want to do to the God of. Okay, but the Chavetz Chaim is like a nice, sweet man, you know. That should be a person's desire in life. Okay, maybe I get it, you know. I'm in a good mood, you know. I woke up on the right side of the bed, you know. I get it, you know. You should be nice to the guy who beat you up in the dark alley. And then sent you into the hospital. He's the same Michael. I'd rather say that I'm looking forward to Nekama. Basil Sharma, it's awesome. Basil Sharma, he describes Nekama. He says there's nothing sweeter than revenge. I don't know how he understood the geschmack of it. I mean, he was like pretty removed from it. He says, "What's the Chavos Harmas?" He said, "What? The Bereshit didn't have a geschmack. Revenge, as he made it usher. It's so geschmack. Bereshit should have made a mutter." So, what's he saying to us? So, why is he saying it's usher? He's saying, "Yeah, you're something bigger. You're something better." You know what? And you'll be happier. He's dealing with a person. He went through a difficult, you know, certain situation. Came to recently. He wanted to address the issue with somebody. I said, just move on with life. He said, but covenant terror. He tells me covenant terror. I says, forget about the covenant terror. The person will take care of the covenant terror. He says, you person need to move on with life because you're going to be a happier person if you move on with life. A parent tells that to a child. A friend tells it to a friend. When it comes from a master telling me, move on with life, what's he saying? You can't get you really should deserve to get your covered back, but the mice, I'm not going to let you get it. That's how we're going to touch up the words of the Torah. That's how we're going to touch up the words. I have to sit and learn the whole day. What if I learn the whole day? You know, like I better do with my life, quote unquote. I enjoy it much more not learning. What's the difference if I learn anyway? What do I accomplish? So there are answers. But if I start with the hanocha that the Bereshit clearly cares about me, and he has a purpose for me, and his purpose for the Bria, and I play a tremendous role in that Bria, and in that context he says, I want you to learn, I'm going to figure out a good answer. I'm going to get that this is really, there has to be a very good reason why he's doing this, because it's good for me. But if I don't have a Yetzias Mitzrayim beforehand, and I'm not misbinding any Yetzias Mitzrayim before. And if I can't find some way to a little bit experience the clarity that Klai Yisrael had in Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Bereshit's love and care and concern for them, I don't know how to eat the Torah. Medr says, from where did Klai Yisrael get the Shema? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Where'd you get that from? Anocha Hashem Elokecha. The Sifri, not the matters. The Sifri says we got it from Anocha Hashem Elokecha. Shesicha Meretz Yitzhar. Anocha Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What do you say immediately after? It's Vahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levav b'chol nafshecha. Kavod Habach Shemayim and Klai Yisrael means with Ahava. We're going to the coronation of the king. We're going to a king who has the power of life and death. You're going to the Tsar's coronation. You're so excited, so happy for him. Really? He's the guy, you know, when he goes like this, so all 10,000 Jews get killed. You know, I'm so excited. We have to say Hashem Elokecha b'chol levav b'chol. It didn't say the pasuk of Hashem Elokecha Tira. It's all different parsha. There's a parsha of Yira. What does the Bereshit want from you? He wants Kim Yira Hashem Elokecha. V'lechem b'chol derechah v'la'avo yisoy. Yishmor kol mitzvus. Right. Yira is just a starting point. Yira means the awareness of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from that vantage point, you'll go in His way. Because he loves, he'll love him because he cares about you. That awesome being cares about you. He's involved intimately in your life. The Shiva from the Chicago tells Rabbi Chaim Levine, Zichr Levracha was, they said Mass with the Shleshim for him in Chicago. So when Echaberim was there, told me over that, Reb Chaim Doiv Keller, the other Shiva, Halbin Chaim L'Chaim, was sitting Shiva, he's sitting Shiva for his brother now. Starting with the Menachem Obel. So he said, every morning he says, I make him in Tzadik Gavr. He looks back, there were moments in my life where I realized the Russian Pasha clearly directed my feet in a certain direction. There were paths ahead of me, and I look back at those moments, he said, and every morning I say, Hamechim in Tzadik Gavr, the Russian Pasha had a plan where I should go in life. There was a personal plan for me. There are moments in my life which I had the clarity, I pushed it chapt, not love that Kumashas Maisa, but in retrospect, the Bershom Pashat had a plan. He cares about me and he has a plan for me. The older you get, the more you will understand that. But even younger, you realize there are different opportunities which came your way. Some you took advantage of, some you didn't take advantage of. The Bershom sort of nudged you in a certain direction. Hamechim in Tzadik Gavr, that's what means the Bracha Hamechim in Tzadik Gavr. I'll just finish with that. I once had this aura. When I was down for the Amud for my father, Olam Shalom. So since I moved here, I've become much much quicker davener. I used to daven very slowly. I'm serious. This is not a joke. And davening for the Amud and Tells the Shiva for me was very challenging because it was like, not you guys would have called it slow, but I felt it was faster than I was used to. And it was a very big pressure. So over the summer, I was in Muncie for 2 weeks. So it was Ben Azmanim. I went to Beis Shraga. And Rav Schwab, Rav Mordechai Schwab, the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva, was there. And I asked him, for that. He says, only in condition you daven slowly. I said, Machaya. So I davened slowly. One day, it was Monday or Thursday, one day I looked around the last cottage, there were 10 people, myself included, there were 10 people. Everybody else had left already. It was talking slow. He enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed it very much. Everybody else had, I guess, it was better as mine. You don't like it, daven somewhere else, buddy. Nobody asked you to daven here, right? So I was talking to him about my challenge. He says, say brachas at home. Before you go to the yeshiva, say brachas at your own pace. Be misburdened in them. Absorb the words. Get a geschmack in them, enjoy it. The truth is that saying brachas in the morning should fill a person with such a state of simcha, of the awareness of what he has. But even more than that, that the Baruch Hashem cares and gives it to him. And he has a protector and a benefactor who cares about him, who's the most all-powerful being, who's interested in him personally. Shasali called Tzarki, Hamechim Yitzhari Gover. He's Malbish Arumim, he's Pekeach Ivrim. There's a fascinating halacha that a person who's blind says the Bracha Pekeach Ivrim. So, how do you say the Bracha Pekeach Ivrim when you're blind? Because the Barsham, without everybody else being able to be sighted, he would have a very difficult life. People can help him this way. So a person is able to be mizbainen and see the chesed even in the difficult situations. How do you do that? I would be one person will tell me, I think it's very cruel to make him say pekech. He's focusing on everybody else has sight and he doesn't. So we should say it's cruel to make him say pekech. How do you make him say pekech? Yotzer Or, very chershek, you make a bracha on the Or, for him it's painful. Some people tell you it's painful. And some people are able to put it into context and see all of the good the Rosh Hashanah does for them. That even the difficult things, there must be a reason. They can accept that. They can be confident in that. Because they trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They have a munim talking to the Kodesh Baruch Hu because they see so much of the clarity of the Mechim Yitzhari Gover and the Shasali called Tzarki. They say Reb Zisha, one day he was saying Shasali called Tzarki and he stopped before he said the bracha. Which is the right time to stop by that anyway. You're supposed to stop before you say the bracha. Before you say the bracha, you're supposed to think about what you're saying thank you for. Rosh, thank you. I have no idea what, but I'll figure out by the time I get to the end of the bracha. Thank you for something. Stop and think about the fact that you're able to walk. and the Rosh Hashanah takes care of you. Rosh Hashanah, thank you for your ability to Baruch Ato Hashem. So he had no food. He had his house was leaking in. He had no clothing. His rags. His kids were starving. Shasli called Sarchi. How can I say such a bracha? They said that the Bujer Rebbe one time had the same Shiloh while he was sitting in the concentration camps. Well, he wasn't sitting, but while he was, how do you say Shasli called Sarchi? So Bzisha said, he thought about it, and then he said the bracha with Gavaldik Simcha. So the Rosh Hashanah decided, what I need is poverty. That's what I need. So that's Tzarchi. And he said the Baruch HaBesimcha. Sometimes that's what we need. A person needs sometimes to be reminded that not everything goes easy. The Chavos always says it's good that children... Imagine, why do kids get sick? It's not fair. They're not chayv. They don't deserve any oinshim yet. They're under bar mitzvah. So that'd be great. Till the person is 13 years old, life is totally perfect. No oinshim at all. He's totally healthy the whole time. Everything that he wants to eat, all this clothing, and he turns 13, chayv, boom. He'd crumble. He couldn't handle it. It's main what happens, a kid who went to had a pampered life, and all of a sudden he goes to parents say, okay, now go get a job. He says, he can't handle it, he falls apart. And that's just the money. Imagine every single element of your life was perfect until you were bar mitzvah. You'd fall apart. So we need to, sometimes we need to go through difficult times to understand, to deal with them. There's reasons, and they're good reasons. That's all of these parshiyos, Shmos, Veira, Boy, Bishalach, Yisroi, we talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, bring us to the parshiyos where the Rosh Hashanah dwells in Klal Yisroi. Right? And we say, V'shachanti b'soichom, Rosh Hashanah dwells in each member of Klal Yisroi. That's the relationship we're building, that it's a personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're confident that we can talk to him directly. That's what a Shemoneh Esrei is. We're confident that he cares about us. That's the clarity we're supposed to take out of these parshiyos. So that's the chiyuv of his bainanus that we have as we learn these parshiyos and we go through the parshiyos, is to push it to stop and to think about what a beautiful relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.